Now, Asia correspondent today is Elizabeth Beattie from Thomson Reuters. She's in Hong Kong. Welcome back, Elizabeth.
Hi, Catherine. Good morning. Hi again.
Good, thank you. We will come back to talk a bit more specifically about Hong Kong in the moment, but what is happening throughout the rest of the region? Some of these really big populated countries, we're beginning to see some reports of India, of people on the move, people worried about food access. What's happening?
Yes, so in India, there's recently been a sudden surge of cases. We've had 386 cases over the past 24 hours, which is very significant. The total number now the health ministry is reporting is 1,637 infected and 38 dead. So this number is still relatively low in a population of 1.3 billion, but there's this, been this sudden increase and, like you said, this kind of concern about supplies. So India, much like New Zealand, has gone into lockdown, and I recently spoke to a contact who lives there, and she described there being an eerie kind of pin drop silence, which is very noteworthy in the streets as the country observes the shutdown. And there's the empty shelves in supermarkets we're beginning to see as people kind of scrabble to kind of get their supplies and stock up. And in India, of course, many families live together with grandparents in the house as well. So people are taking this very seriously. And in other parts of Southeast Asia as well, we're seeing the real impacts. There's been a bit of a delay, but now we're really seeing the impacts. So Indonesia is another place where cases have jumped steeply from zero reported in early March to now more than 1,400 and 122 deaths. And this really puts a lot of strain on their healthcare system. And President Joko Widodo has now declared a health emergency, and police and military are enforcing a kind of state of semi-lockdown. Whereas the situation in the Philippines is even more severe. Residents in a slum in Manila recently staged a protest after they claimed they hadn't received any food packs or supplies since the country began its lockdown around 2 weeks ago. And police then rolled out, and residents protesting refused to leave, and police ended up arresting around 20 people. And now their president, Rodrigo Duterte, has told authorities they can shoot dead protesters or individuals who, you know, quote, cause trouble. And again, a contact who lives in Manila describes the atmosphere there as very scary at the moment, with kind of police blocks set up monitoring vehicles.
Indonesia, of course, and India, we're talking massive populations here. And is there any sense, like where is their pandemic planning at? Many countries, many health systems, many of the wealthiest countries in the world just struggling to cope with this, and what do we know about the preparedness and the planning in some of these huge populous Asian nations?
Well, there's a lot of speculations. You know, we're seeing officials always communicate that, you know, there's a plan, we're able to tackle this, and, you know, things like President Joko Widodo, as I said, declaring, you know, a health emergency. There is a sense that this is being taken seriously, but frontline healthcare officials in a lot of these places have been protesting or have been saying they're not able to test on the level they need, and there's concerns that just the healthcare system in general, this will place very real strain on it. In Indonesia, there was a lot of questions about whether there had been cases earlier than they're now being reported. So it's very difficult to tell how well structured or how well planned the response has been to this at the moment. You know, we're kind of seeing emergency action, and I think this is something we'll probably look to a bit more in retrospect.
What of Hong Kong itself and how its outbreak has been managed where you are?
Yeah, so now we're seeing kind of borders being tightened up here. There's this mandatory 14-day self-quarantine period for travellers arriving back in Hong Kong. In the city, most people are staying home, minimising the time they're spending out. Well, there have been kind of government measures rolled out. You know, the early response in Hong Kong was quite self-directed based on individuals' previous experience with SARS. Like we talked about last time, the Hong Kong government kind of came under fire for being slow to close off borders with mainland China. And it took a little while for kind of action to take place. But now it's ramped up a little bit. Social gatherings are being restricted. And after some coronavirus cases emerged at Lan Kwai Fung, which is a bit of a party hotspot here, now today, as 6 p.m. tonight, venues can no longer serve alcohols and bars must close. And I've seen the way they're monitoring overseas arrivals firsthand. I'm currently in self-quarantine after recently coming back to Hong Kong. And I kind of went through that process and saw the system up close. And there's a few potential areas for flaws there. At the airport, health officials are giving out wristbands with a QR code, which links to an app. And the app's English pages haven't been able to work. They've continued to show up in Chinese. I used a non-work device with a non-Hong Kong number, which, you know, was okay, but then wasn't okay. And I'm on now the very last day of my 2-week quarantine. And I think over that entire time period, I've gotten about 3 calls from health department saying I'll be sent a code and this hasn't eventuated. So, you know, the officials have apologized for glitches and said the system is now flawless. But across social media, there's still issues being reported. So there's kind of here in Hong Kong, a few questions about maybe the effectiveness of the system.
In Japan, of course, we know the Tokyo Olympics has been postponed, and goodness, they held on as long as they possibly could before bowing to the inevitable. What else is happening in Japan, both from the pandemic management but also the economic management perspective?
Yes, you're right. So for a long time, it looked like the Olympics were just going to go ahead in spite of everything. But now they have officially been postponed. And I think there was a bit of a wave of relief somewhat locally and internationally. Then now there's the Tokyo government and the Japanese government is now advising those social distancing measures that we're seeing elsewhere, asking people to minimize the time they're spending outdoors. And individuals have been asked to avoid karaoke bars specifically, which is hugely popular in Japan, as well as kind of bars and the usual sociable places. And we're also seeing economic relief measures rolled out in Japan in order to try to protect the state of the economy somewhat. But It's a big unknown at the moment, the real impact of the coronavirus and what this might be on their long-term economy.
In other news, Taiwan has seized on China's expelling of reporters from the New York Times, Wall Street Journal and Washington Post earlier this year and offered them a home in Taiwan. Is that being taken up?
It remains to be seen if it will be taken up. Taiwan is a lovely place and they might well choose to relocate there. But yes, Taiwan is now welcoming US foreign reporters after the Chinese government expelled a number of reporters from New York Times, Wall Street Journal and Washington Post earlier this year. And Taiwan's political figures have been quite active on Twitter, and the foreign minister, Joseph Wu, has tweeted welcoming reporters to Taiwan and saying it's a country that's a beacon of freedom and democracy. There are a few correspondents that do work from Taiwan. The UK Telegraph's Asia correspondent is based there, and it may well become more of a media hub in the near future, primarily because of its proximity to Hong Kong and to other parts of Asia. You know, to give you a sense, it's about an hour's flight time from Hong Kong, so it's quite close.
Thank you, Elizabeth, very much, and you'll be looking forward to getting out of your quarantine today. Thanks very much for being with us, Elizabeth Beattie from Thomson Reuters, based in Hong Kong.